Well, hey, everybody. My name is Don, and if I don't know you, I'm sorry. We got to meet. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I'm typically down south in Waterford leading worship, and it is so great to be here today and just have a conversation together about what God is telling us in His Word. We're toward the end of our current series, I Kiss Religion Goodbye, and we've been looking at the difference between a religion about God versus a relationship with God. And we've been looking at what is, for most people, the most religious of texts, the Ten Commandments, and we've been learning how that's not so much about religion, it's much more about relationship. And today we find ourselves in the ninth commandment. And so I would ask you to grab your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. If you're using the church Bible, it's on page 118. And while you're turning there, I thought I'd just be a little transparent with you all today and just confess something. I hope that it doesn't affect the way you see me, and if you know me, I hope it doesn't. I hope I don't let you down. I'm sorry if I have. But my wife and I bought cable so that we could watch Cops. That's pretty much. We haven't had cable for a couple years. About 4 months ago, we had a good deal. We thought, why not? And judging by what we spend most of our time watching, it's Cops or Big Bang Theory, and mostly Cops. So I deduce that's why we bought cable, right? It's to the point where I actually DVR Cops, just in case it's not on when I want to watch TV, right? It's a problem. I know. It's a DVR Cops. But here's why I like Cops, all right? On Cops, you watch 10 minutes of it, all right? And you discover that the stereotypes we have as people about other people are true. They're true. Have you seen this show? Yeah, you've seen it. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically a TV camera crew gets in a cruiser and follows a policeman around on his shift, and you just kind of see what they go through. And you learn that some stereotypes that we have, they're real, man. They actually happen. Like, for example, I watched this one episode where this policeman asks this lady, the perpetrator, doesn't ask her, where do you live? He says, what trailer park are you from? Are you joking me right now? Are you kidding? I can't even believe you did that. I'm getting all indignant inside. This cop, how can you do this? And before I can even vocalize this, the lady says, oh, I'm from Winn-Dixie Park, trailer 321. Are you joking me right now? Oh, my goodness gracious. It's true. More interesting than that, though, all right? I've learned a life lesson about human beings from Cops. And that is that we are terrible liars. Have you ever watched Cops? People get busted, and the lies they tell are like, are you serious right now? It's so obvious that you're lying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Say yeah if you know what I'm saying. Okay, all right, good. For example, this is a real one. I just watched this like 2 weeks ago, and it's stuck in my brain. It's hilarious. Cops are staking out this crack house. It's a known crack house. They're staking it out. This car pulls up. It's a young person's car. It's got low suspension. It's got the racing fin thing at the back. And so they pull up. Some young guys get out. They go into the house. Shortly thereafter, they come back out. They get in the car. They drive away. Okay, we all know what just happened, right? Right, a deal, right? Deal happened. Couple houses down. Cops light them up. They pull the guys out of the car. Hey, we need to talk to you. Okay, they start questioning the young men, and they say, hey, where are you coming from this evening? Oh, we're coming from our buddy's house, lives a couple miles down the road. Okay, all right. What's your buddy's name? John. Yes, John. Buddy's name's John. Okay, buddy's name is John. How long have you known your buddy John? About 2 days. All right, okay. What brings you here? I mean, Why are you out here visiting your buddy John at this time of the night? Because it was pretty late at night. We just came to borrow a lawnmower. No kidding, the cops looks at his watch. He's like, sir, it's 11:45 p.m. Who borrows a lawnmower close to midnight? I mean, come on. Do you know that we know this is a crack house? This is a known crack house? No, I had no idea. Right? That's right. That one right there that you just came out of. We just watched it. Oh, yeah, it felt like 5 mile drive. But yeah, okay. Well, sir, we need to check your car. Is there anything illegal in the car? No. I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. It's my grandma's car. So, sir, this is not your grandma's car. It's got a low suspension. Your grandma doesn't drive something with a spoiler on the back. Life lesson from Cops. People are terrible liars. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, you are a terrible liar. All right? Come on, do it. You are a terrible liar. All right. That's biblical right there. We just confessed our sins one to another. All right, on the topic of lying, all right, a question that I have had, and I still can't answer it, and if you have children, you know what I'm talking about. Who taught my children to lie? I have no idea. How many of you have kids? Kids, we got a lot of people with a lot of parents. Awesome. Okay, if you don't believe that human beings are naturally evil, you haven't had any kids yet, okay? Because these little spawns of Satan, I mean, these angels... I'm just kidding. I'm poking fun. I love my kids. I honestly think I have the coolest kids in the world, man. But who taught them to lie? I didn't teach them to lie. My wife didn't teach them to lie. They didn't learn lying by observation in my house. Who taught them to lie? And they all lie differently, too. My oldest, she's very sensitive in heart, and she'll lie and disappear for 5 minutes or so. Just gone. I don't know where she went. She'd come down from her room weeping with the whole, like, sucking air back in. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, what is going on? What's the problem? And eventually she calms down. We get it out that she lied. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, thank you for confessing. And let's deal with that. My middle child, it's plastered all over his face that he's lying. He is so transparent. He has no idea that you can read him like a book. I'm all like, dude, seriously, this is not even hard right now. It's like, come on, you got to try harder at this. And my youngest, he's 3, fantastic talker. Sometimes, though, he thinks that he's smarter than he really is. You know, I'll ask him, son, who did this? Well, maybe it was mommy? No, I don't think mommy dumped a bucket of Legos in the toilet, okay? That's the kind of stuff that happens in my house. Now you know how to pray for my wife and I. So life lesson from my kids, all right? We are born liars, naturally. That's a sound theology, all right? We take what we learn from cops, what we learn from our kids, put them together. We are born naturally terrible liars. Look at your neighbor and say, you are born a naturally terrible liar. Yeah, they can't help it. They were born that way. All right. Some of you are having too much fun with this. I can see you guys. You know what? I poke fun at it now, but it doesn't really change when we get older, does it? I mean... we get busted. I get busted for doing something wrong, for saying something wrong. And what's my first impulse? Say, Don, I would never. Well, okay, maybe you won't say an outright lie, but our first impulse is rarely to say the outright truth, is it? Or we find ourselves being caught up in our insecurities about who we are or what we struggle with, who we were, and we make up this untruth about us so that we can share that with other people so that they won't ever find out about who we really are, what we really struggle with, what our past was. Or we are envious and we're jealous of other people's things, other people's intellects, other people's spouses, other people's bodies, other people's money, and we make up untruths about who they are so that we can feel better about ourselves. And the interesting thing is that hasn't changed since the dawn of humanity. And so is it any wonder that God has something to say about that in his top 10 lists of things that he wants to share with us? Grab your Bibles. Open up with me to that passage, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, before we read commandment number 9, all right? We've been learning 2 things about the commandments. The great commandments, I mean, there's a big umbrella. These 2 things are an umbrella under which we should read the commandments, okay? The first truth, the first great truth of the 10 commandments is that God did not give us the 10 commandments to get a relationship with him. He gave us the 10 commandments so that we could grow in a relationship with him, okay? The second part of that is that God gave us the 10 commandments so that we could catch a glimpse into his heart for us. The 10 commandments aren't what God wants from us. The 10 commandments are what God wants for us. There's a difference there, okay? So keeping those 2 great truths in mind, let's read commandment number 9. Verse 16 of chapter 20 in Exodus says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Short, sweet, and to the point. That's it. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now, before we go anywhere else, I want us to get the big idea for the bottom line for number 9 here, okay? Because I want us to get it today in the service, but I also want us to get it today for our lives. I want it to be in the forefront of our lives, the rest of our lives. And that's this. The truth of the matter is that truthfulness matters. Say this with me. The truth of the matter is what? That truthfulness matters. Now, in the next 20 minutes or so, I want to do 2 things. I want to spend some time looking at the historical context of why did God give us this commandment in this way at this time, and I want to look at the cultural context, okay? Why is it given this way to this group of people? And then I want to step back at a bigger picture and say, well, okay, what does that mean for us in 21st century America? All right? So you ready? Come on now, you got to talk back with me. I'm going to fall asleep up here. You ready? All right, here we go. Okay, so at a glance, all right, historical, cultural context. If you read this commandment number 9 and said, wow, that kind of sounds very judicial in nature. I feel like it's a court scene type thing, talking about witnesses and that kind of stuff. You would be right on. This is set in the ancient court system, the ancient court scene. Keep in mind that at this point in history, the Israelites have been free from being slaves. They haven't been free very long. Okay, and they were just under slavery in Egypt, not for a little while. They've been under slavery for centuries, for dozens upon dozens of generations. This is a people group who do not know how to be free, and suddenly they are free, and God says, okay, you're free, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments so that you can stay free. And this is number 9, don't give false witness to your neighbor or about your neighbor. And it's set in the ancient court scene. All right? Now, the ancient court system is totally different than ours today. All right? There's no jury of your peers. There's no judge with deliberations and all that. There's none of that there. The way it worked back in these days, you would go to the central gate, the main gate of your city, and you would call court. Basically, you say, I have a beef with so-and-so. I want to deal with it now. All right? So the accused would be there, the accuser would be there, and then all the elders of the city would come to the main gate, and there you held court. And there you would bear witness about this person. You would say, what's going on? This is my problem with this person. And you would bring your witnesses to bear witness about this person. Now, in the ancient court system, you were guilty until you were found innocent. And oftentimes you were found guilty or innocent on the word of just 1 or 2 witnesses. So, can you see where this is starting to be important? Now, there's a system of checks and balances in place. If you were the accuser, you had to take part in the punishment of the accused. Sometimes that meant you had to throw the first stone if that was what the punishment was, the execution by stoning. But can you see where the problem might have been? I have a problem with you. Or, I'm jealous. I want your land. I want your spouse. Whatever it is. I'm going to bear false witness about you. I'm going to pay off a few more other witnesses who will also give false witness about you. And then I have been practicing my throwing arm for all week, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. You see why this is here? You see why this is important at this stage, at this time, for these people? Now, the word for false here, in English, we translate it as false, but in Hebrew, it's got a couple subtle differences. In this account of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, it's untrue. It means untrue. False, untrue, fairly straightforward. In Deuteronomy, there is another account of the Ten Commandments, and it has the idea of empty words or insincere words about your neighbor. Okay, so put them together, put all this together, and the big idea is tell the truth. Don't paint people in a negative light. Don't put people in a negative light by what you say about them. So that was then. Cool. But what about now? I mean, I'm a 21st century American, and, you know, I'm not going to ever lie in the court of law. I mean, everyone put your hand on your Bibles real quick. Put your hand on your Bible. All right? We're all familiar with this. Now you say, I solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Right? In the court of law, I would never lie. Why? Because that's perjury. I would go to jail for that if I get busted. No way, Jose. Okay, fair enough. But let me ask you this. Have you ever had your reputation trashed or smeared because of something someone said about you? Wasn't entirely truthful? Have you ever had something said about you that was not very truthful at all, that just pierced and cut and hurt so deeply? What does this have to do with today? See, there's a bigger picture than just the court scene, all right? There's a bigger context. And it starts with understanding, well, who is my neighbor? I mean, tell the truth about my neighbors? Okay, but who's my neighbor? Well, the idea of neighbor in the Hebrew word has a couple of different ideas with it as well. The Hebrew word for neighbor is the same word used for what we would translate into English as an acquaintance, or a lover, or a close friend, or an adversary in court, even an enemy on the battlefield. That word, or a form of that word, is used for all those things in Hebrew. So who is my neighbor? Jesus was asked by a bunch of smart alecks in Luke, who's trying to outwit Jesus. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. He has this tendency of winning any conversations that you have. And they were like, okay, we get it. Love thy neighbor as thy... Sure, sure, we got that. But, I mean, who is my neighbor, Jesus? And Jesus says, well, everyone is your neighbor. Not just your neighbor next to you, but every person that you know. Everyone you will ever come into contact with, that is your neighbor. So I'm supposed to be truthful to and about everyone I know, everyone I will ever come into contact with. All right, I can handle that, but I mean, what's the big deal about number 9? What's the big deal about this whole concept of not bearing or telling false witness or testimony to my neighbor? I mean, what's the big deal, really? Well, remember our big idea, the bottom line, all right? This is a big deal because first and foremost, number 9 is about truthfulness. Truthfulness, though, isn't just speaking the truth. It's about also living the truth. Jesus said something very interesting about untruth. And he said that an untruth, not just speaking a lie, but living a lie, it's actually a symptom of a much deeper issue. You see, when we speak a lie, Jesus said, hey, out of the overflow of the heart, out of the abundance of who you are, out of the fabric of who you are as a person, when you speak a lie, an untruth, that's not just something that flippantly came out. That comes out of who you are. Oh, Don, I didn't really mean it that way. No, no, no. Yeah, you did. But the bigger context is not just speaking a lie. Sometimes it's living a lie or an untruth. What do you mean, Don? How many of us have ever been in the situation where we kind of want one foot in each part of the world? Hey, I want to have my jollies on the weekend, but at the same time, I want a little bit of Jesus. So just, well, hey, wait a minute. You can't do that. That's living an untruth. You can't live an untruth. That's coming out of, there's a much deeper issue. Proverbs chapter 6 is really interesting to me, because it says in it that, hey, there are 6 things that God hates. 7 he finds a complete abomination. And when in that verse, there's 2 things that are mentioned, and each of them have to do with a lie. God hates lies. God hates untruths. Do you understand what that means? I mean, think about God hating something. God doesn't hate the way I hate Brussels sprouts. And believe me, I hate Brussels sprouts. Whoever came up with those things, there's something wrong with those people. And I'm sorry if you like Brussels sprouts, something personal, but something wrong with you too. I hate them. I didn't like them. The way God hates lies is a little more like how I hate cockroaches, all right? I flip on the light and I see a cockroach on the floor. What's my first reaction? Get that out of here. Not happening in my house. No way. And that's how God hates. There are 6 things that God hates, and God says, that is not happening in my house. No way. Get it out of here. An untruth, a lie, that's one of them. Hey, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Are you speaking the truth? Are you speaking lies? Are you speaking the truth to your friends and your family? Or are you speaking lies? What's your self-talk like? How do you talk to yourself about situations, about people? Is it the truth? Or is it a lie? I'll be honest. My self-talk can be pretty negative a lot. I think if I had friends who talked to me the way I talk to myself sometimes, I wouldn't have very many friends like that. And a lot of times it's because what I'm telling myself is not true. It's based in a lie. What's it like for you? And God hates that. What's your lifestyle like? Are you living a truthful life? Or are you living a lie? God hates that. Don't do that. What's the big deal about number 9? It's a big deal because it's about truthfulness. It's a big deal because it's about relationships. Do you understand that truthfulness is the fundamental element to any relationship you will ever have, including God? Truthfulness is the fundamental element in a relationship that is growing and thriving with God. If you do not have truthfulness in your relationship with God, you will never be able to grow and thrive in your relationship with God. Don, how can I be truthful with God? I mean, what? How many times have you said to yourself, man, I did it again. Well, I'm not going to do it next time. I got it. So I got this. I'm on. I'm not going to get any help. Let anybody. I got this. Don't worry, but God, I got this. You ever said that? I have. That's not being truthful. How many times do you feel God has said or impressed upon you, or you just know there's something you have to do that is right, and you say, no ways, I'm going to do that. I admit that I'm wrong. No, I got this, I got this. I'm not going to do that. That's uncomfortable. I'm not going to do that because I just don't want, nope. Yep. If you want a growing and thriving relationship with God, you have to have truthfulness in your life and in your walk with God. Not only is it a fundamental element in your relationship with God, but it's also a fundamental element in your relationship with your spouse, with your family, with your children, with your boss, with your coworkers, with everyone you will ever meet. Truthfulness is the fundamental element to your relationships with people. If you do not have truthfulness in your relationship with people, you will never have thriving and growing relationships. Now, let me bring this to the church, okay? Those of us who would say, I'm a believer, I have a relationship with God, I want to talk to you right now, okay? If you are not there yet, and say, Don, I don't have a relationship with God, I'm still trying to figure this out, that's fantastic. So glad you're here. You're off the hook right now, okay? Church, it's not this building. It's not even all the people here right now today. The church is the people who say, I have a relationship with God, all right? I want to talk together. Paul says something very interesting about truthfulness to the church. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he says to the church, therefore each of you in the church, members of the church, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. In this specific context, your neighbor of the church. For we are all members of one body. We are all members of God's church. What is he saying? He's saying two things. Hey, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a believer, a follower of God, what are you doing lying? You have no business lying. Stop. Don, it's a little white lie. I mean, come on. You know what? Honestly, white lies are very rarely as white as we think they are. And often we find that out way after the fact, don't we? It wasn't exactly a lie. It was more of an untruth. But stop. It's the same thing. We have no business as Christians, as people of God's church, we have no business living a lie, speaking a lie, spreading a lie or an untruth. Stop. But another thing that Paul is telling us about lies and untruths is this. Hey, don't come to church and plaster on this fake smile and plaster Christianity and say, hey, man, praise God, everything is wonderful because God's in my life. I mean, maybe it is right now. And that's fantastic, but don't pretend like life is never hard. I mean, that's not real. That's not the Jesus people need. People need to know that, hey, I can come to God and not have it together. I can come to God and he will help me through that. But they also need to know the truth. We're going to have hard times as Christians. Jesus even said, hey, sometimes you're going to have hard times because you're a Christian. Why would we ever fake that everything is fine when we know it's not? Look, my wife and I are still trying to figure out how to continue through life after losing a child 2 years ago. That's not easy. Man, that's hard. You're trying to figure out how do I move on through that very painful and violent divorce. That's not easy. That's hard. Man, how do I tell my family I don't have a job anymore? I don't know how we're going to pay our bills. I don't even know how we're going to buy groceries. That's not easy. That's hard. Why would we pretend
as Christians, as the church, that, hey, everything is hunky-dory because I love Jesus. Don't do that. Be truthful. Be honest in your relationship with each other, the church. This is why we have things like journey groups at our church, so that we can share each other's lives and help each other through those tough times. This is why we share stories on this big screen, so that we can see what God is doing in other people's lives and how he's given them hope and how he's helping them through situations, or they've already been through that situation. Be truthful, church. Be truthful. Show people who Jesus really is and what it really means to struggle but have hope in Jesus as part of his church. All right, now everybody, church and non-church members, like, we're back on the hook, all right? You tracking with me? Say yeah if you're tracking with me. Yeah. All right, so what's the big deal with number 9? Number 9's a big deal, one, because it deals with truthfulness. Number 9's a big deal because number 2, it's about relationships, but also, and bigger than that, it's about being free. Long time ago, God kind of took a look at the state of humanity and said, no, I'm not really cool with this. I don't like this. I don't like the state of untruth that I'm seeing that's so impacted our relationship. We can't even have a relationship. Now I'm going to go down to earth. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to call myself Jesus. And I'm going to teach people about the truth. And then I'm going to die so that everyone can believe in the truth and know that I am the truth and that I can set them free and we can once again have that relationship. Jesus said in John, he said, hey, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do you want to be free from? What untruth in your life is just, man, a heavy, heavy load on your shoulders? And Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way to that. And I can set you free, but you gotta have a relationship with me. If you're here today and you're saying, Don, I'm definitely one of those people who don't have a relationship with God, I'm so glad you're here. And I would just like to invite you to begin a relationship with God. And it's so easy. God just says, all I need you to do is say, yeah, I've been untruthful. I've been living a life apart from you, and the sin in my life will totally separate me from you. But God, forgive me. I want a relationship with you. Please start one with me. And the Bible says it's all it takes. God will come rushing in. God will say, yes, I will begin a relationship with you. I'm so excited to have a relationship with you. Relationship, by the way, that he will never leave. That he will never say, nah, change my mind. Maybe you're here today and you say, Don, I have a relationship with God, but honestly, it's been a long time since I've been truthful about God. I've been living a lie. How great is the grace of God that he would say, I hear what you're saying, but come to me and say, I'm sorry. Admit that you're wrong. I forgive everything, every time. And let's start afresh. Let's start new. Number 9 is a big deal because it's about being free. So what do we do with number 9? What do we do with this 9th commandment of the 10 of them? What do we do with it? God's teaching us 2 things in the commandment number 9. One, he's asking us to commit to a lifestyle of truthfulness. Remember, being true isn't just about not telling a lie. It's about living a truthful lifestyle. And we do that by committing to the God of truth. So where are you at in your lifestyle? How are you living? Are you living a life of truth? Are you living a life committed to the God of truth? Do you understand that if truthfulness were part of who you were, if your lifestyle was committed to the God of truth, if your lifestyle was that of truthfulness, do you understand how it would revolutionize your relationship with your spouse? Do you understand what truthfulness could do in your relationship with your children? Do you understand the impact you could have upon your family, the impact this church could have upon this community, the impact that we could have in the world if we lived a lifestyle of truth and a lifestyle committed to the God of truth? Why? Because the truth of the matter is that truthfulness matters. Do you see now why this is in number 9? Do you see now why this is in the scripture? Do you see now why it's a big deal? Because the truth of the matter, say it with me, is that truthfulness matters. Let's pray. God of truth, thank you for revealing yourself to us that we could know the God of truth and have a relationship with you. I ask, Father, for those of us who have yet to begin a relationship with you, that today we would start that, and that you would let them know immediately that a relationship that is about to be awesome has begun. God, I pray for those who have walked away from you, that you would give them the courage to come back and that they would set straight the things that they need to set straight and that they would once again live a lifestyle of truthfulness. God, we ask that you would help us to share with the community what it looks like to live a lifestyle of truthfulness committed to the God of truth. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.